It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
So how are you doing today, Citizen Lobbyist?
Well, I'm a little sad there's no sun this morning. I was getting sort of used to that, but apparently we only get a couple days of that, and we have to come back to this. But hey, it's summer solstice, and that's always kind of a fun day.
It is indeed, and it was warm. I can tell you, walking across town this morning, even with the gray, it felt warm. It just felt good.
Yeah, it's 59 degrees, I think.
Well, let us reflect now that we have a moment where we don't have to rush out into the sun and do summer things. The meeting that was, that's Tuesday's borough assembly meeting, it went on.
A fairly long day for borough folks.
Yeah, they started in the afternoon early, around 4:30, with an earlier meeting. Do you have any sense of that one before we move to the regular?
Well, I did get there at kind of in the middle of the meeting, so I didn't actually learn anything new. This was a report, of course, about that had been sort of brought forth by the Fish and Wildlife Committee on some concerns that they have about the fish habitat and the wetlands, how that all works together and how those are getting filled in, and more importantly, how the borough is not really prepared for more development projects. Most talked about was Donlin Mine. And it was the same gentleman that was there before Mike that gave the presentation about the wetlands. And at the end of the day, you know, probably not a good, real big reason to go into this now because the borough did not take any action. They need to talk more to developers. That was came from a couple of assembly members that they wanted to know more about the Donlin mine and what their take was on the whole wetlands issue. And so they sort of punted that down until they get more information. And it wasn't quite clear to me when that might be, or you know, how that might be satisfied, but it was kind of one of those, thank you for the information, and no real action at that point. So
it was a kind of a special meeting just for that purpose, was it not?
Yeah, and you know, I think that this assembly is, you know, there's been a lot of news, of course, you know, about the fish crisis, so to speak, someone would say, of the fisheries. So, and they have a lot of... we have a lot of faith in this Fish Commission. We talked about that before too, Mike, and that there's a lot of experience, experience on that commission about fisheries. So it is something they're keenly aware of, and it got their attention. So we'll see. I think we're going to talk more about that, which is why I didn't attend the entire thing, because I think it's going to come up again.
Okay. Go ahead.
But transited, they had maybe 20 minutes or so between their 4:30 meeting and the start of the actual borough meeting, which Mr. Beck was calling into. He was out of state, and Ted Leonard was excused. So they were a little short assembly people, although Matt Beck did stay online for the entire meeting. So that was good.
Yes. So out of the box, they had a couple of pronouncements by the mayor. One of them, in particular, because it touched someone I had known way back when she was a student here in the district at Colony High School. That was Claire Baldwin, who had written as a high schooler some really good columns in the Frontiersman of the day. And then went on to go to Stanford and then on to write for some very prestigious outlets, including Reuters, and was stationed in and has been stationed in Hong Kong. And was one of three people that has been recently receiving notice as Pulitzer Prize winners. Clear path that she blazed. And is a great example for people starting out and getting involved when they're in high school and taking that experience forward.
Yeah, she wasn't there to accept the award, but certainly sounds well-deserved.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 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 Okay. Well, then they moved on to a very, very specific items. It seemed like they had a long list of public hearings to go to, but some had much more attention than others.
Well, let's stop just for a second, because I do want to talk about a couple of reports before we got that. One I think was really well taken, and that had to do with the citizens that have, Tara Sutton, one of the leaders of her community over in the Willowa area, has helped a group of neighbors. They've had some, we've talked about this before, Mike, they've had some horrible crime over there, and a lot of neighbors with junk in their yards, and it's become an ongoing problem over there. And she helped with a group of neighbors to clean up. They had a block party, and they picked up, they had some help with the borough with some dumpsters brought in. They had 8 truckloads and trailers full of materials that they picked up from their neighbors' yards and from their yards, and people that even people that couldn't even weren't able to, for one reason or the other, clean up their yards. And they ended up even having some money come out of their own pocket for it. But the long and the short of it is they picked up 13 tons of trash from that neighborhood. And it's starting to move the needle on things. She's saying that there are some landlords that have been renting in there that are trying to get rid of some bad actors that are their renters. And so she seemed pretty hopeful that that neighborhood is starting to clean up its act. And so big shout out to the people in Willowa who have organized themselves on their own grassroots activities and got some cooperation brought to the attention from the borough for enforcement. And it sounds like they are moving forward. And I've had some offers from for some other financial support to do some other things in the community, their little community. So that was, I think, really a good example. And I wouldn't be surprised if someday we get a proclamation for some people that are involved in that effort from the mayor for the good work that's being done there, too.
And that's particularly encouraging, given that there have been a number of meetings where the description of what exists was provided, and the assembly seemed to be beyond the standard the compliance efforts, having difficulty with coming up with from a borough standpoint, a solution that would take care of things. But it sounds like this is now showing a way in which citizens and the borough can work together and make that happen.
Right. And they did talk. There was a little, previous to that, a report from staff about the lake monitoring program. I've had some experience knowing about that. There's a 20-year-long program that 60 people in the borough have been monitoring the health of their lakes. Some of them 10 years or more, and they're going to suspend that program and take over that job within the borough themselves, probably just because they want to get some real consistent data. But it was a kind of a hats off to well done from that volunteer force. And the last one I want to talk about, Mike, is another thing the planning department, Jessica Smith, brought up, is a plan that they're working on, a human services transportation plan.
Right.
A coordinated human service transportation plan update. It's been outdated for many years. They are coordinating with the service providers and the Master Health Foundation and to figure out what the current and the future needs of people, specifically more the senior population and the disabled. And this, as everybody knows, the senior population is growing at about 41% in the Matsu Valley, where the average nationally is about 18%. And so it's something that we have to address, this transportation needs for those that can't get to the doctor and the store and other things, and how you coordinate all the service providers that are already out here. And there's a lot of examples nationally for that. There'll be some public comment for that, but they plan the update for that to happen sometime in October. The Matthew Hill Foundation has done a lot of surveying and a lot of work in that area. So now they're ready to take some action, which is always good to see.
Great. Yes.
So that that was it. And then a short little blurb on the update to the subdivision construction manual. That's been something that's, boy, been needed for a long time. I think when I started going to borough meeting some 15 years, maybe longer than that ago, they were updating that manual, and it seems to get dropped periodically, but they expect to have it ready for prime time sometime November, December timeline. So that's good to hear that to be done. So then we got into the meat of the meeting, Mike, starting out with the multifamily development design.
Yes.
This is something, again, that has been in front of them and punted down the road. They did have the public comment on it, which just brought really one person out to talk about it, and he was a inspection owner that thought that it might be added some cost to it and that they needed to take a better look at it. So they punted that down the road again to August 21st meeting for that multifamily development, how they're going to be changing that. So that was that's been something that's been back and forth on the agenda, Mike. We're used to that, though.
Yes, yes, indeed. And what of all of those public hearings, there were a couple that drew most attention from people, although there were some individuals in the audience that were able to speak to almost everyone. We had a number of people coming up and talking about them. But thinking over all of those hearings, which ones were the most contentious or had the greatest impact when action was taken?
Well, you know, there was a lot of testimony. One having to do, there was not any testimony on something I kind of expected to hear, and that was amending definitions relating to marijuana. It really wasn't controversial. It just allows hemp and CBD oil and that sort of thing, but there wasn't any comment on that, so you just never know. And normally we get a lot of comments having to do with marijuana. There were some comments about changes to the land use regulations, and that was another one that was kicked down the road. There was a lot of it was perception problems, I think, on what it did. You know, some people felt that it was transferring rights from people to the borough, and what it came out was that it wasn't written clear enough for the public to understand it. From the planning department's point of view, they're streamlining things. They've got a lot of referrals to different codes and different parts of the code, and they're trying to bring all that together under one sort of zoning ordinance where it's easy for people to understand. But apparently no one understood it very well, and both Mr. Sykes and, those people really kind of wanted to hear more about it. So he moved to postpone it to August 21st.
Right. Which is going to be a busy day. There was a number of postponements. There were a number of postponements.
And there was a few mostly positive comments on the Settlers Bay Coastal Park Recreation Development Plan.
Oh yeah, right.
And that's that was passed unanimously on the end. There were a past borough employee, Sarah Jensen, who worked in planning, is now on that board and has a firm understanding of the impact to that community. And she explained it as a perfect example of a public-private partnership, and I agree with her, it really did. There was some concern about the use of the Iditarod Trail and the current use of trails there, which the director, said that is part of the plan, and they could address signage into those trails and that sort of thing. But in the end, it was agreed that it doesn't preclude them using the trails, and it passed unanimously. So a little bit of conversation about that, Mike.
But it did pass, yeah.
The city of Wasilla, no conversation really about the extension of the Wasilla Library parking lot into school, what is now used kind of for the is on school land, and terms for the city of Wasilla to pay the borough for use for that to expand the parking lot. The one that they really probably had the most conversation about was an ordinance, and this has been was described from Mayor Halter pretty well as a really tough subject. And
yes.
That was the move of the Veterans Wall.
Oh, yes.
It moved from where it is now up across from the hospital, where the old tourist building used to be, over to the Wasilla, which is where the former Iditarod school was. This has really gotten a lot of testimony in the past, and it got some testimony this time, and a little bit of inconclusion as to whether the veterans supported it or not. I think it was said, and I think it's honorable that the mayor of Wasilla did a lot of due diligence on this. He met with five veterans groups and got agreement from five veterans groups. There was one gentleman there that was at the veterans group meetings, and he said that he didn't understand there was an option of not moving it. The Massachusetts Health Foundation now owns the land, and they are actually have given the effort $350,000 for the move of the wall, along with some borough money that's been set aside. So at the end of the day, you know, it seems like it's a better home for the wall.
Let's roll back a moment when you say the Matsu Health Foundation owns the land, because what I understood in the past was that's what kicked this whole thing off. The wall itself was sitting on property that the people who, if you will, were responsible for the wall did not own the land upon which it was placed.
Originally, it was the borough owned it. The borough sold the land to a developer who was going to put a senior acute care facility there. He backed out and then sold the land to the Matthew Borough.
Sold it back?
Backstory.
And then, so my understanding about this is basically that... I think when the discussions occurred and the five veterans organizations were being polled and asked to support the move, I'm not sure how it was phrased to them. I wasn't there, but I could imagine a situation where they're saying we can make this happen. We can provide funds and a place and get out of this controversy. If you stay where you are, this is not a done deal of saying you have option B, stay there, and everything is good. Because there are still some complications with it in terms of land ownership, et cetera. And my understanding is that at that time then, they agreed and they moved forward. Now, subsequently, I guess what you're suggesting is that the Metsu Health Foundation could have sold the land to a group that would have been responsible for the wall or one thing or another. But that's still a little blurry to me.
Well, I think that this incumbents on the land put there by the borough during the transfer from the borough land to the first property owner was put there for a reason. And then his development idea was that he could include the wall in its present place with the design of the building that he was, which gave some assembly people some concern, but they went with it as long as this was part of the deed. But again, the people owned the wall did not own the land under the wall. And so I wasn't at those meetings either. And there really weren't, the leaders from those meetings weren't there to speak as to what was, they were told the options were. The Matthew Health Foundation, of course, paid over $1 million for this land, and they want the highest and best use and of the land. And, there will be some that argue that the place where they're moving it is, has better access for the whole borough, and they don't have the wind problems because it'll be between in an area that has less winds, won't be subject to that. But it is a little bit hard to follow in the end, Mike. There was a comfort level enough that all assembly members voted for it except Mr. Kowalki, and he wanted proof that all the groups had signed off on it.
Right. Well, the other thing that I thought that was persuasive, and maybe to the assembly members as was to my way of thinking, is that the city had offered a 99-year lease for the property upon which the wall will be placed with with an extension of another 99 years.
Right.
I mean, that seems to, in many ways, help this whole process along and clarify the land wall relationship.
Yeah, and then it's fairly unlikely the wall is going to go anywhere else. And there is, you know, there are some plans that even Mr. Sykes said that he is still trying to get his father's name up there. So there, unfortunately, are a lot of names that will probably be added as more people move to the community. But it is draws a lot of people to the event. A lot of people have volunteered to caretake that over the year. It's a very emotional subject. So whether it's put to rest now, I hope so. I hope so for the veterans that were involved in this, because it really was a heartstring thing there.
Right, right.
Another ordinance got a little bit of discussion, Mike, had to do with the school district having the ability to carry over 100% of their end-of-the-year funds, so to speak, so their unspent funds. By state statute, school districts are not allowed to keep more than 10% of what they have left in any year, so that they aren't allowed to grow any big slush fund, so to speak. The Massachusetts School District has pretty consistently only kept 2%. And, you know, there was some pushback against that. Mr. McKee on the assembly, Mr. Kawaki, did not like that. You know, what it says is if they don't get this money, they aren't really ever able to have an emergency fund or a savings account. And I don't know who operates without that. It is part of sort of a complicated former ordinance that was set a couple of assembly meetings ago, having to do with school funding and giving the ability to have some stability to that for the next 5 years on what their expectations could be. And this will be part of that conversation on how much money is left over. But it did pass in the end with just those two assembly members being against it.
Right. So
a little bit of, we're wrapping up here, Mike, but a little bit of conversation having to do with, surprisingly, I was surprised, and I think, again, this had to do with not a great rollout of this, is conducting an email or putting the election brochure just on the web.
Oh, right.
Sending out the brochure, some $20,000 is spent to send a brochure to all households with voters in it about candidates, and the clerk's office was asking to put that, to drop the mail out and just put it electronically. It should be said that they've been doing electronically and mail, so it's been available electronically, so people are already getting that now, but that went down in flames. In fact, Mr. Mayfield was the only one that voted for that, so we'll see if that comes back again. I don't know that it was rolled out well enough for them to have a comfort area. And, you know, there is a very good chance that by next year at this time we'll be doing mail-in ballots, and as Anchorage does. So I think we had a little discussion about people find computers when they want to file their PFD. Why would they not find a computer if they were interested in an election?
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, that didn't happen.
Right. Okay. Well, since
so I think that was kind of the gist of all of that. There was a little talk, Mike, and this will come up again too, having to do with an advisory question to put on the ballot to voters outside the city on whether or not they want to issue police powers. There's a price tag with that, but that wasn't quite ready for prime time either. And that's been voted to postpone to July 17th when they have another special meeting, which gets them to the deadline. So nothing else there was some talk about a Wolf Lake Airport, an overlay of airports that got kind of punted down the line. So nothing else that stuck out too much for me, Mike. And they only had read in one introduction for the August 7th meeting, And there are a couple special meetings here, one particularly on crime that is going to take place in Wasilla on Monday. Maybe I think there's another one having to do with something later in July. So they kind of put their foot off the gas a little bit on public meetings during July when everybody's out about doing things.
Right. Good job, citizen lobbyists. A lot of little details that affect people's lives.
Yeah, it was a long meeting, Mike. I think we got out of there at 5 minutes to 10, didn't we? So
Yep.
It was a long meeting. So yeah. They covered a lot of, that's what happens when things get pushed down the road. Somewhere there's a long meeting waiting you.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to next week and see what we can cover that has happened in the intervening 7 days. Enjoy the weather, gray as it may be.
That's right. Be safe out there.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.